Good evening. We've been spending a little bit of time on Sunday nights looking in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to do that again tonight. A parable that I think we're very familiar with. I'm going to hone in on one aspect of it that maybe we're not familiar with. One of the things that I've often heard, in fact, so often have I heard it, and in so many places that I'm sure, this is the general perspective that many have. It must have been the prevailing teaching at some point that the reason why Jesus spoke in parables was so as to make the word very easy to understand. You'll even have people say, you should talk more like that because Jesus talked at a third grade level, I've heard, and the reason for it was so that it could be understood by everyone. I want you to take that, and I want you to read what's actually in the text and what Jesus actually says about the parables. Because oftentimes we hold these ideas in our mind that we've been told by many, and surely it sounds good, and yes, we can remember parables well. But I want to ask you, is that what Jesus in fact said? Did Jesus say, the reason I speak in parables is so that people would more readily understand? So just take that and let's read what is in the text. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. So he's teaching predominantly in these public settings in parables. Now, just for your information, the word parable in Greek is the word parabole, that means literally to cast alongside. So to cast to throw something, and para is it's a preposition. It means to be alongside. So imagine that you had two stones, one in each hand, and you threw them, and they're running parallel to one another. A parable is to cast alongside. So there's something over here, and the stone that is thrown is going parallel to it. But it's not exactly it. So Jesus is speaking many things in parables. And Jesus said, listen. First of all, the first thing that he says is, open your ears, listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let me ask you, at this juncture, based on your familiarity with Scripture, did the disciples understand what Jesus just said? And the answer is no, they did not. But Jesus spoke in the simplest terms. I thought that he spoke so as to understand. Well, let's see what happens here. And by the way, this same exchange is recorded in all of the Gospels that record this very story. This is not just Mark saying it. Matthew records the same. They come to Jesus, in fact, in the others, more expressly to say, we don't understand. But I thought that he spoke so as to make sure that everyone understood. Well, look at what he says. When he was alone, verse 10, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that what? So that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now let me ask you, what does the word lest mean? See, that is a word that we don't typically use in our modern English language. One time someone pointed out to me that I used it naturally in a sermon because I had been reading in the Gospels so much. I said lest, and they said, "Who says lest?" And then I stopped saying it at that point. But lest is actually a Greek negative particle. In fact, it is an emphatic particle that means so that not. Jesus said, "I'm speaking in parables so that they may see but not perceive. So that they may indeed hear, but what? But not understand." Do you see how easy it is for someone to say something nice sounding? Like Jesus spoke at a third grade level so everyone understood. And yet in the very same text where this occurs, Jesus is saying the reason I'm speaking in this way is so that you would not understand. Brothers and sisters, what I think we're experiencing in this is precisely what Jesus is talking about when he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And my question to you is, how much of what you think, how much of what you believe, how much of your perspective has been framed by what someone else said to you rather than what you have seen for your own eyes and with your own ears from the Scriptures? Jesus repeatedly says, "Listen, open your ears." He says over and over again, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now we're talking about a parable that is literally the Word of God going forth. And my question, and what I wonder is, how often does the Word sound forth and it goes right by us? How often is what we're reading here precisely true of us? It is even ironically true in the very section where Jesus is speaking in parables about listening closely that many would conclude the reason why he spoke in parables is so that they'd more readily understand. And yet Jesus in this context says, "I'm speaking this way so that they don't understand." And then he says, "so that they would not turn and be forgiven." Now that is surprising. Isn't that a surprising statement from the one who came into the world loving all of the world, desiring to save everyone? God is patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth and to come to repentance. So what's going on here? Well, this context from which Jesus is speaking goes all the way back to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. During the time when God's prophets came on the scene, the true prophets, in the midst of the many false prophets, the many false prophets spoke and said the things that people wanted to hear. They said readily what the people wanted to hear. They were yes men. They would go into the king's court and say what the king wished for them to say, and they sounded nice. Everyone left always feeling good. They felt filled up on the inside. And yet they were not speaking true words. They were speaking lying words. They were saying things like peace, peace, when there is no peace. And of course, if you go into the Old Testament prophets and you look on Isaiah and Jeremiah and these minor prophets that we've been looking at, most of the time it was a difficult message, one that went directly against the way that the people were currently thinking, the way that they were currently living. Now, if you had to choose between one who told you you must change and one who said all is well, which one sounds better? Who will be more readily received? And so God came to Isaiah and he said, "Go and preach." In fact, God said in a famous passage that you and I know very well, "Who will go?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." And what was the message with which God sent Isaiah? It was not one of peace, but it was one of destruction. It was not one that would make people feel good, but one that would in fact make them mourn. And so God sent him out and God said, "Keep on preaching." Now let's go there. Let's just briefly look at this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Verse 8, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" You remember our brother Sam preached this last week from the book of Jude, where the Lord's brother said, "I wanted to write about our common salvation. But I found it necessary to write to you, to write appealing to you to contend for the faith once for all delivered. Now, why would he write appealing to contend for the faith? Because his point is, though I would like to talk about salvation, there will be none if you don't fight for it. There'll be none if you don't fight for it yourself. And so God sent Isaiah, and he was going out with a message that would have been difficult. I want you to ask in your heart of hearts if the Lord sent you with a tough word, with a tough word that would go against the very peers, the very ones you love, the community in which you live. If God sent you with a tough word that you knew would be rejected, how many would go forth and faithfully execute it? How many would go forth and actually say it and do it? Well, Isaiah did. And he said, "Go and say this to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." Is this not exactly what Jesus said in the parable of the sower? I'm doing this so that they would keep on hearing, but not really perceive. Keep on seeing, but not really see. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" In other words, how long must I proclaim these messages in all of their difficulties? And God said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, and though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled." Now notice that. Keep on preaching until cities lie waste. Now what's interesting is this is exactly what Isaiah was saying, but when you have one voice saying something difficult in the midst of many, 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 many voices saying something nice, how easy is it for that one voice to be drowned out? Isn't that very easy to do? And so though Isaiah was clear and his message was pointed, it's not that the people didn't hear it. The truth is they didn't accept it. They heard him saying destruction while the rest said peace. Both of them are proclaiming the word of God. Those that are saying peace are relying on all the Old Testament promises where God said, "For my people there will be peace." They only forget that it was predicated on their obedience and their allegiance to the covenant. And so he's calling out, there will be destruction unless you repent. They heard it, but they didn't accept it. Jesus says in this parable of the sower that the word would go forth, and this is what he said. And church, I really do believe that our primary posture when we come into the word is not to immediately assume, "I'm not that guy." I really believe that it is a great disadvantage for any of us to come into the word and immediately assume, "I wouldn't have been the grumbler in the wilderness. I would not have been the one that crucified my Lord. I would not have been the one that did not understand the parables." I think, in fact, the more humble posture that we must take is to assume, "I probably would be that in some degree." The question is, when the word goes forth, do you hear it? Or do you immediately buck? Do you immediately rebut? Do you immediately say, "That is not so"? Do you immediately look for a reason to excuse what is plainly given? See, Jesus, and this strikes me in this parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4, Jesus, in his discussion of the seed going forth and being scattered all over the ground, the very first group, which I believe is the most predominant, he says this of them: "Sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." Now notice, it didn't have a chance to enter. What do we know of paths? They're well trodden. Trod or trodden? Well trodden. Whichever. They're well trodden. They've been pressed down. What do we know of them? They're not soft. They're not tilled. There's nowhere for the seed to go. It lies bare and it is exposed. It's not that the seed didn't go there. It's the nature of the path where it went. And Jesus goes on and he says this. He says down in verse 13, do you not understand this parable? No, notice. Jesus said, I'm speaking in parables so that they wouldn't understand. But he did say, to you it's been given to understand the secrets of the kingdom. So what's the difference? They didn't readily understand it. Why'd they understand it? They understood it because they sought it out. They were not comfortable to walk away with a nice story. Why would the Lord of the universe tell a story about a farmer and seed and birds and ground? There's got to be more to it than that. Some heard the story and thought, yeah, nice story. They had no clue what it was really about. And those that were there who wanted to understand it didn't readily understand it. That's why Jesus said, to you it's been given to know the secrets. But at that time, they still didn't understand it. In the other Gospels, they asked, what does it mean? And so Jesus says this, do you not understand? And yet because they don't understand, yet they sought out an answer, he said this, how then will you understand all the parables? But he goes on and he explains, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. That's the first and most predominant group. To hear it. And it falls on hard ground. There's no chance of entry. What work do we do prior to receiving the word, to cultivate and till our hearts so that we could receive the abundant, life-giving word? I think one of the things that we must do is have an open mind and an open heart that says, I may be challenged. In fact, I probably will be. If I ever think I know all things, that is the most dangerous place I can be in. I know many wise, older men. I remember as a young man listening to an elder in the Lord's church talk about the true sustaining need that he had for Jesus, to whom he clung every day, without whom he would have no hope, the desperateness of his sinfulness, this righteous, sanctified elder man in the church. I thought, no way, you don't sin, because he wasn't sinning in the same way as me, and yet he knows by being in these words that it's always going to go very deep. The longer you're in it, the more you see that sin runs real deep. God removes those outer things, but the deeper you get, the more you realize it's still within me. I need the Lord. And he came to the Word and he talked about how he always needed the Word, how he was still learning. What do you mean you're still learning? You've been studying the Bible your entire life. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 11? Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge and power of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. You can't fathom them. There will be no point in any of our lives where we have a full grasp of all that God has to say for us. I think part of the pre-work before hearing the gospel is just recognizing I still have much to learn. We all do. But do we come with a receptiveness? Do we come with a readiness? Do we come willing to hear, willing to be challenged? You remember, I mentioned them in the sermon this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 17. The Bereans, Paul and Silas, where they went, some places they rejected them outright, but they went into Berea. Verse 11 of chapter 17, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received, now notice this, they received the word with all eagerness. So they were paying very close attention. They received it, but then they were examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Paul told the young Timothy, and sometimes we think, well, he was a prophet. He had the Holy Spirit. He could not err. And yet the Bible only gives us what we lack. He had many scriptures that he was expected to study. And so there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, God, through Paul, said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." In other words, he was spending a good amount of time there. He was being serious as a student. You know, there was a time when people used to say, and I'm not sure that they still do. Maybe they do, but I haven't heard it like I have heard some of the older folks saying. But there was a time when people could say, those Church of Christ people, they know their Bible. You can ask them a question, they know it. There was a time when that was what we were known for. Let's make Oldham known for that. Those people go to Oldham, they know their Bible, they take it very seriously. I don't think it's hyperbole that David in the Psalms said, "On your law I meditate day and night. I make it the object of my affection. I look on it and I think about it and I consider it." Church, God has given us His holy word. But if Jesus is showing us anything, it's that He has not given it to us on a silver platter. God has given us His word. It's here for the taking. It's here for you and me. Have we received it? Will we receive it? Are our hearts ready to receive it? Because Jesus said, those who do hear and those who do receive, that word goes in and it grows up into a bountiful harvest where they are fruitful, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. In other words, the best life, the most fruitful and productive life are those that hear the word and heed the word. Let us, you and me, be these kinds of people. If you have any need at all, you can come forward while we stand and while we sing.